The very brief conversation between the disciples and Jesus in today's gospel strikes me as peculiar. Here they are, out on the Sea of Galilee. The storm comes up, the waves are breaking over the boat. Jesus is asleep. The disciples go to wake him up. But they don't say, "Jesus, help us." They don't say, "Jesus, what should we do?" Instead, they ask sort of a strange question. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" In the midst of their panic, their fright, their fear, they sort of seem to turn this into a personal issue. Sort of to say, "We know you could do something, and if you cared about us, you really would. So what's the deal? Why are you sleeping?" Do you not care that we are perishing? Seems like sometimes that is the prayer that we can pray. We find ourselves in the midst of illness or suffering of other kinds, difficult situations and trials of life. And here we are begging God day after day to do something. And it seems like all we hear in return is silence. So we might sort of shake our fists and say, "You know, Lord, you're supposed to be this all-knowing, all-loving God, all-powerful. If you care, why don't you do something?" Now, it's equally interesting, I think, to look at Jesus' response to their question, because he doesn't say, "Oh, of course I care. Have no doubt. Of course I care for you. I am concerned." That's not his response. Nor does he say, "Oh, sorry, I was sleeping. I didn't realize there was a problem. I didn't know that you were in the midst of this difficult situation." His response is, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" And his response then implies that if they knew the power of faith, they wouldn't be so afraid. The faith could have turned their situation around. In a sense, if they had true faith, they could have left him sleeping and they could have taken care of it. That's the sense that we get from this passage. You know, why are you afraid? Why are you terrified? It's like, if you had faith, you could have taken care of this. It's very interesting. Now, sometimes we think of faith, though, as our saying our yes to a list of facts. Every time we gather for Mass on Sunday, we say, "We believe in one God, maker of all that's seen and unseen, God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that the Father sent the Son into the world to take on our nature, that Jesus suffered and died, was buried, rose on the third day, ascended into heaven, sent the Holy Spirit, built the church. We believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come." And to all of those things we say, "Yes, we believe. We believe." And that's good. That's part of what it means to have faith. But it's not the same thing as putting your life in the hands of God. We can say, "I believe all these things," and yet at the same time say, "But I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to just trust in what I know. I'm going to trust in my own abilities." It's much more difficult to take that leap of faith where we say, "Lord, my life is truly in your hands. And I don't see what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. I don't get what's going on. But I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe that you know better than I know." and I'm going to live according to what you say. I struggle with this. I don't know about you, but I struggle with this, completely putting my life in the hands of God. And it's funny because I've met lots of people who do that. It seems like they don't seem to struggle at all with it. They probably do. But I was thinking about the Missionaries of Charity Sisters over in Spokane. I was with them one morning for a reception for some people, and the superior of the community was telling me, she said, "Oh, Father, we had no cake, we had nothing to have for this reception. There was nothing. Even last night, we had nothing. But I prayed to God that He would bring something. And you know what? This morning, there was a knock at the door, and someone brought a cake. And they said, 'Sister, could you use a cake for anything?'" When was the last time someone rang your doorbell with a cake, wondering if you just happened to need one? You know? But they knew. She knew. She trusted that God would provide exactly what they needed. And He did. We read the stories of the apostles after the resurrection, after Pentecost. They go out and they encounter all these people that are sick and wounded and lame and have oppressive spirits and things. The story doesn't say that they encountered them and say, "Well, gosh, could God take care of this? Or should we do something? We could ask, I guess." And no, they encountered the crippled man and they say, "We don't have gold or silver to give you, but what we do have, we do give. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." And the guy hops right up. I've heard lots of testimonies about people who had these terrible, terrible illnesses, and doctors had said, "You're a goner. There's no way you're going to survive." And through faith greater than I have, that's for sure, they received healing. I wish I knew how all of that worked. I wish I could encounter people who were sick and just say, "Well, if you do this and then this and then this, you'll be healed. No more cancer." That would be great if I could say that, but I can't. But I can look to the scriptures, and St. Paul points us in the right direction. He says, "Christ indeed died for all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised." And then he goes on to say that whoever is in Christ is a new creation. A new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. This is what it means to live by faith. Not just professing all those items that are in the creed, but no longer living for ourselves. Placing our lives truly in the hands of God. And inviting His Holy Spirit to be the absolute guiding force and guiding light in our life. That involves surrender. That involves trust. And it is a leap of faith. But would you rather be like the disciples, who are simply in a panic and afraid because of this situation that arose? Or would you rather be like those, the apostles after Pentecost, or those people today who realize that by the power of the Holy Spirit, they already have what's necessary to change the situation they're in? I would rather be like the second group. I would like to know the power of faith in my life. I would like to see the Holy Spirit alive and moving and dynamic in every situation. That doesn't have to be just a dream. That's the reality that the Lord offers to us.